The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The Gospel of the Lord. May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Mama. Mama, look. Mama. 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 Look at me. These are words spoken with shocking frequency at my house. Mostly by my four-year-old, though my 18-month-old twins are now starting to pick up on the fact that it gets them the attention they want, too, so it's becoming a nearly constant refrain. From early childhood, it is already clear that the desire to be seen matters in a deep way as we form our sense of identity and worth. And that desire never really goes away, does it? We want to be noticed for our achievements. We want to stand out. We want to feel seen for who we really are. Despair sets in when we make our way through our days feeling unnoticed. In the challenge of a relationship when a partner no longer notices you. The challenge of old age when you feel invisible to the world. The desire to be seen is perhaps intensified in this era of modern technology, with so many more ways to put ourselves on display in hopes of being seen. But as a fundamental human desire, it is anything but new. The people of Israel crying out to God from their captivity in Babylon in the book of Isaiah, "Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice?" And the hypocrites in Matthew's gospel who long to be seen for their practices of piety. Maybe something similar is at work in them. What drives them to seek such public affirmation of their faith? I think we understand it better than we would often care to admit. Hey, family. Hey, friends. Hey, neighbors. Hey, colleagues. Hey, fellow parishioners. Hey, world. Look. Look at me. We want to be noticed. We want to be seen. These readings appointed for Ash Wednesday do not condemn us for that, but they caution us. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For a life concerned with being seen is fundamentally about one thing and one thing alone: ourselves. This degree of narcissism is developmentally appropriate for my toddlers. But when it remains the driving force of our lives as adults, it causes some real problems. It isolates us. We become either inferior or superior to every person that we meet. We crave the affirmation of others, and yet no amount of it will ever actually suffice. And so we return here each year to the dust. In the book of Genesis, God gathered together the dust of the earth with loving care to form the first human. Each one of us was formed with loving care and attention by the same God who gathered together the dust of the earth into the first humans and breathed life into them. And God saw them and declared that they were good. All those days you felt like dust, like dirt, the poet Jan Richardson wrote. Did you not know what the Holy One can do with dust? So many of the ways we get ourselves into trouble in this world is when we are seeking out every possible avenue to feel validated and worthy and seen. If only we would remember that we are dust, and oh, what the Holy One can do with dust. We are seen. We are beloved dust. Out of what looks like dirt and nothingness, God sees who we could be. And on this day, invites us to see it too. To see who we could be the way that God sees us. Free from all the things that get in the way and distract us. The things that keep us so focused on ourselves. When we gather here on Ash Wednesday, we kneel not as individuals, but together, as the gathered body of Christ. We kneel and acknowledge our humanity, our mortality, our many imperfections, and they become the very things that draw us together rather than dividing us. We kneel together because each one of us was made from dust and will return to dust. And this fact has the potential to affect us profoundly. When you walk out these doors, you have a choice. Do you let this experience of your shared humanity affect how you interact with every single person you meet? Does it help you to shake off the need to prove yourself so that you can meet other people in your humanity? Letting go of pointing fingers and speaking evil, opening your eyes to see the hungry and the needy, and making choices to feed and care for them. During the season of Lent, the practice of fasting, whether it is a traditional fasting from food, whether it's a social media fast, or whether it's something else entirely, the goal of these fasts is to clear out some space in your life by removing something that keeps you focused on you. This fasting is not about being seen or being worthy of God's love, which is something we don't have to worry about because we are seen and we are loved. But fasting is about restoring that fundamental connection with the God who breathed life into us at the very beginning, and with the other people with whom we share life on this earth, formed of the dust just like we are, filled with that same holy life-giving breath. Is not this the fast I choose, Isaiah writes? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to bring the homeless poor into your house. An encounter with the God who sees us and loves us cannot help but drive us to do the work of helping others to know that they are seen and loved as well. In this passage from Isaiah that begins with a yearning to be seen, by the end we are given a glimpse of the healing that this would make possible for ourselves and for the community. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. In true community with others, you can discover a life of flourishing, of healing and restoration of ancient hurts. And you have the opportunity to participate in the healing of the wider community, living into your full humanity and allowing others to do the same. Because you are seen. And you are loved. You are dust. Amen.